it's a brand new episode of the Girl Unlimited podcast, the podcast and platform dedicated to seeing you break barriers, live fully, love abundantly, so you can be all you were created to be. The spring season has finally sprung, and I know that is such a cliche term, but I think of all weathers, spring is certainly my favorite. It's like coming out of the dark or out of hibernation, you know, after the dark, cold, wintry days. The days are longer, but not too long. It is warmer, but not too hot. And it just, in some ways, heralds hope. It's a beautiful sunny day in Hertfordshire today, and you all know that as a tropical girl, I am in love with the sun. And these days for me, sun is synonymous to long, soul-enriching walks, which I'm definitely looking forward to, especially today. And especially because it will be a good time to start and finish my book club's book of the month for March. Every time I say book club's book, it just sounds like so much book in the sentence. Well, hopefully you know what I mean. This month we are reading David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell. And I'm yet to start, but I'm already very excited because, for one, it is Malcolm Gladwell, and I love his work. So the subtitle is Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants. When you use words like misfits and underdogs, it's definitely sweet music to my ears. Speaking of walking, that was something my family and I did a lot of in Budapest, where we spent most of last week. It's amazing how taking you out of your natural habitat can turn your daily routine right on its head. Oh my goodness. My kids, especially the oldest, really, really felt the impact of being away from home. For instance, he only uses fresh milk in his cereal. And well, in Budapest, or like the locals call it, in Budapest, the freshest milk they sell is similar to our UHT milk here, which, if you don't know what it is kind of like fresh milk, but treated in high heat to extend its shelf life. So when unopened, you can literally leave it in your pantry at room temperature without it going bad. And the thing is, my child can tell the difference between fresh milk that you put in the fridge and UHT milk. So it meant he couldn't have cereal during our time away. In fact, it seems like Hungarians are not cereal people at all, because we could only find a really small selection of cereals. And for those of you who know me, you know my family and I are big cereal eaters. Anyways, we had to adjust really quickly. And this is one of the things I love about traveling out of your own country. You learn to adjust and work with what you have. And I'm super, super proud of my kids for scoring high marks in that department without too many complaints. This is part of emotional intelligence, which we have been highlighting in our homeschooling. So this was pretty much a homeschooling trip than a vacation. Speaking of homeschooling, we're still really happy. We're still really loving it. I do get those moments where I'm like, oh, what the heck did we do? And I do still miss seeing them in uniform, I'll be honest. In fact, right here on my desk is a picture of my daughter wearing her old school sportswear. And I always do this sigh of mild grief. But just this past weekend in church, someone said to me that they had a conversation with my oldest a few weeks ago, and they were so impressed by how confident he was. That almost made me cry, because that was one of the reasons we took to homeschooling in the first place, especially for him. It was one of the things we hoped to achieve. And to realize that someone actually noticed the difference, well, you can't exactly put a price on that, can you? We still have a long journey ahead of us, and there will be learning and adjusting and some more learning, as all my kids are different and have different needs, just like no two homeschooling families are the same. But all in all, I have the firm belief that it will be a journey of adventure, one we will never regret. And that is one of the reasons for my final updates today. And it is the fact that I have decided to change the podcast airing schedule to once every 2 weeks. That is every other Wednesday. And though this wasn't my plan, it has become necessary for a couple of reasons. First off, amongst the other things you guys know I do, and you know I'm a person of multiple interest, I am now a homeschooling mom. And that was not in the cards at the time I started the podcast. And amongst other things with homeschooling, it involves planning and strategy and thinking ahead and lots of outdoor activity, which I see potentially increasing, especially for my younger children. And it just takes a lot more bandwidth than people realize. Also, at the moment, I'm still a one-woman band, which means I get to do every part of this podcast. And while I enjoy it, from recording to editing to social media, it is time-consuming, to say the least. But I'm sure that is going to change once I am able to get some more help in. At the moment, I'm actually trying to conscript my kids. Last reason is it will free up time to enable me work on Girl Unlimited as opposed to just working in it. There's so much coming down the pipeline for Girl Unlimited, including going back to weekly episodes and possibly even a 2-weekly episode schedule. So this is just taking a small step back to come back stronger. In the meantime, it is important to me not just to show up for you, but to never compromise on the quality of content that you receive from us. So I hope this isn't bad news for you folks. I'm still going to be here every 2 weeks. And when I'm not, you can be sure that I'm working behind the scenes. Okay, now on to today's episode. Today, we are talking about what to do when you feel stuck. If you're like me, feeling stuck is not new to you. In fact, you're probably feeling stuck right now as we speak, whether that is in a job or a business you hate, a relationship you feel stuck in but feel you can't leave, or you just feel stuck or stagnant in your life in general. In this episode, we'll be discussing the reasons you may be feeling stuck and a few things, in my opinion, I feel you can do to get unstuck. My name is T. Ari, and you're listening to the Girl Unlimited podcast. Like I said, personally, I'm no stranger to feeling stuck. And what I'll be sharing with you today is based on my own personal experiences and research I did. So why do we feel stuck? You may notice I use the word feel as in feel stuck rather than saying you are stuck. And this is deliberate. Many times when we say we feel stuck, it is really a feeling we have inside as opposed to what is really the case on the outside. That is not to say that being stuck isn't your situation, only that most of the time it is a mindset thing, or at least starts out as such. Now, the feeling of being stuck usually arises as a result of an overwhelming desire to change a situation, but for one reason or a few, you don't or feel like you can't. For instance, I felt stuck in my last 9-to-5 because I knew I shouldn't have been there. Not because it was a bad job in any way, shape, or form, but because it didn't light me up in any way or challenge me or have any bearing for where I saw my life heading down. And this is probably the only disadvantage I can think of knowing your purpose and knowing what you want. It gets difficult to stay in what you definitely know isn't for you. Anyways, I stayed longer than I should have because I felt we needed the money. And after hearing and reading other people's experiences, I know this to be true for a lot of people in the workforce. I believe that's where words like rat race and hamster wheel come from. You're going nowhere fast. And if you're one of those people still saying a job is just a job, it isn't meant to be something you love, then you aren't hearing the underlying message of Girl Unlimited. Your life doesn't have to be this drab, bland, day-to-day existence which you live on autopilot. It can be fulfilling and fun and colorful and meaningful, and I dare say it should be. If not, what's the point? And seeing that your work occupies a huge part of your life, then I believe work should be fulfilling and meaningful and fun, and we ought to love it. And you might not be there yet, but I believe this is where we all should be heading towards, no question. Now, that was a little digression, but you know, obviously, how passionate I am about this concept of loving what you do. So let's go back to this thing of feeling stuck being mostly in the mind. Now, I know when people say mindset thing, it's usually in this flippant, patronizing sort of way, but I actually think mindset does play a huge role here. For one, it is an indication or a signal of a deeper need. And two, there's actually nothing flippant about how you think. Like the Bible scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. In other words, you are what you think, and if you say you're stuck, whether that is as a conclusion you came to due to certain happenings in your life, then you are actually stuck because your mind can't comprehend anything outside what it actually thinks. So to summarize, we feel stuck because we deeply desire change in a particular area but feel we can't get it. And most of what we feel exists in the remit of our minds. A few years before I met my husband, I dated this guy. And in this relationship, I experienced a lot of emotional abuse. But didn't break it off because for one, I felt he was the best thing that happened since sliced bread. But mostly, it was because I did not want to be alone. Now, you're probably thinking that this is an indication of a much deeper problem. And if you're thinking that, then you're absolutely right. But we'll come to this story a little later when we talk about how to get unstuck. But I hope you now believe me when I say I'm speaking from personal experience when I talk about this. Now, another reason you may be feeling stuck is you are exhausted or burnt out. Now, I'm not a science person in any way, shape, or form, but I am 100% convinced that there's just something lack of rest does to the brain. If you notice your general outlook on life, which is usually positive, all of a sudden starts to look bleak and bland and you've lost all motivation, then it's no wonder you feel stuck. Now, I'm a hard worker with tendencies to not just work with my brain, but my emotions as well. In other words, I don't do half measures. I'm one of those people who bring the passion and the enthusiasm and energy you could ever want to a project. The problem is, I tend to misplace the off switch and I forget to rest. So sadly, instead of pacing myself, I have a tendency to burn out. And I recognize when I'm in that zone, when I start to feel unmotivated and I start dreading the project, and yes, when I start feeling stifled and stuck. Another reason you might be feeling stuck is if you feel out of control over your life. Now, something like losing a loved one can certainly do that to a person. Confusion and anxiety and yes, feeling stuck are the usual companions of that sense of loss of control. Now, there's one more reason I believe people feel stuck, but I will talk about that a little later because I want to be able to give the solution to that reason at the same time. So definitely stay tuned to the end of the episode. So just in case everything I've mentioned did not resonate, then that is probably something you want to consider. Bottom line, feeling stuck ain't nice. I think we can all unanimously agree on that. But if you're listening to this and you're feeling stuck, hear me out when I say you are not alone. Many people go through at least one phase in their lives when they feel stuck. What's more, feeling stuck is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, according to Mel Robbins, you know, the author of the 5-second rule, it is neither a good thing or a bad thing. It is simply an indication or a signal, kind of like hunger means you need to eat, or thirst means you need hydration. And I see what she means. So this brings me to what you can do to get unstuck. The first thing I kind of alluded to earlier, recognize that a lot of it has to do with your mind. Honestly, majority of the battle is taking place in your mind, particularly the negative talk in your mind. Have you heard that saying that we do not assess the world as it is, but as we are? Same goes for situations. Sometimes our assessment of a situation is colored by our own negative thoughts. During the weekend, my family and I watched an episode of Dragon's Den, and I don't know if it shows in other parts of the world, but it's a show that is similar to Shark Tank if you're in America. It is a show where budding entrepreneurs come and pitch their businesses to a group of 4 or 5 millionaire investors. Anyways, a young guy, couldn't be more than 25, if even that, came to pitch his business with his business partner, and he talks a little bit about his backstory. He lost his parents at a very young age and since then has done all sorts of businesses, from selling sweets when he was in primary school to repairing phones, and was here to pitch another business idea. I remember they didn't get the investment they sought, but I remember thinking, this guy will make it big one day. Why? Because a lot of people in his shoes would have lived this woe is me kind of life instead of using it as a stepping stone like he has. Now, those of you who know my story know I lost my parents at a relatively young age as well, and was on that woe is me train for years, possibly because I was already struggling with a lot of self-esteem issues. So same situation, different outlooks and different approaches and different ways of dealing with the same circumstance. Once you recognize that most of the battle is in your mind, then you know where to concentrate your efforts and where to pull out the big guns. And here are the big guns I suggest you use. And you may disagree with me, and that's okay, but hear me out. Acknowledge the negative thoughts. Yes, I said it. Acknowledge the negative thoughts. You may feel like a failure. That's okay. Acknowledge that that's how you feel. Feel free to even throw a pity party. But here's the catch. Think of the pity party as a leaving do, or if you're in another part of the world, a send forth party. Meaning you can cry and get it all out, and then it will be time to say goodbye. You and that negative thought are done. Now is the time to pick up yourself and fight to get your mind back. And here's a very good method to fighting back. Use affirmations. Write them down and speak them. In other words, see them and say them aloud. There's something really powerful. I can't explain it, but there's just something really powerful about making declarations aloud. If you try to fight negative thoughts with thoughts, my dear, those negative thoughts will win all the time. So it's time to change tactic. Fight thoughts with words spoken out loud, and those thoughts won't stand a chance. I remember when I was learning to drive. I was a very, very nervous learner. And I usually say if I could learn how to drive, anyone can. The way I saw it, I could barely trust myself on the road. So how could I trust other motorists? Anyways, the day of my practical test was fast approaching. And every time I thought about it, I'd break out in a sweat. Partly out of nervousness for driving, yes, but also because I did not want to fail. Somehow, I just knew if I failed, it would even be harder getting over the nervousness. So along with prayer, I started saying this affirmation over and over again every time I felt afraid. It goes like this. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. If you're a Christian, you probably recognize that affirmation as a verse from the Bible, John 14:27 to be exact. Over and over till I actually believed it, I would say this affirmation. It was difficult for me to memorize it because it was such a big verse, but I would pull it up on my phone and I'll say it over and over and over again. And yes, I was still nervous when the day came, but I also felt this calmness, if you can believe that. And yep, I passed first time. Another time I used these affirmations was when I was in labor to give birth to my oldest. I had heard a friend of a friend talk about using affirmations to get through labor, and I made a mental note to try it when my time came. And that's exactly what I did. When a wave of contraction would come over me, I would say over and over again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's another Bible verse, by the way. Now, it can be argued that I had never had a kid before, so I don't know if the strength I felt then was as a result of my declaration. But I remember that even after 26 hours of labor, I still felt strong and very in love with my newborn son. So try the affirmation thing and let me know how you get on. Very soon, I'll be putting together a little affirmation sheet with my favorite affirmations, and we'll let you know once it's available. So to summarize, the first thing you can do to get yourself unstuck is to acknowledge the fact that this is mostly a game of the mind. Next thing you can do is reflect and assess. And two ways I suggest to definitely do this is to journal and ask the right questions. I talk about journaling a lot on this podcast, and those of you who know me know I'm a big believer in journaling. Journaling is such a powerful tool to help you make sense of your thoughts. And there's just something about putting it down on paper that promotes clarity. And then there's the asking good questions or asking the right questions. If you're familiar with leadership expert John Maxwell's work, you'll know he's a huge advocate for asking the right questions. Questions like, where am I and how did I get here? And I love that question because when you think in terms of a navigation system, you can't navigate to any destination without first figuring out where you are. Another question is, why do I feel stuck? And then another, what do I need to do in terms of resources or supplies to get myself unstuck? And then one of my favorites, this I heard from Heidi Preeb, and she's an author and YouTuber who focuses on helping the ENFP and INFP Myers-Briggs personality types create a lifestyle design that actually works for them. And she asked this question for people who feel stuck. Which of my problems are solutions to deeper problems? Okay, let me explain. Remember the story I told you earlier about my being with an abusive ex for much longer than I should have been because I was afraid of being alone? Well, the problem here is this. I am in an abusive relationship. And the deeper problem being in this relationship is solving is my not wanting to be alone. So the way to get unstuck here would be to tackle that deeper problem, in this case, my not wanting to be alone, and by doing that, automatically makes it easier to get unstuck. If I tackle my being alone, I will no longer feel stuck in an unhealthy relationship. Hope that makes sense. So journaling and asking the right questions will help you reflect and assess so you can move forward. Next thing to do is locate an area in your life you can grow. I learned this one from Mel Robbins, and she says that the feeling of stuckness, if there's such a word, is a signal that you are not growing, just like hunger is a signal that you are hungry. So she says, seek growth opportunities, whether that is starting a journaling practice or reading a few pages every day or learning a new language or taking a dance class. Or like one of my dear friends was telling me the other day, learning how to swim, which is something she has wanted to do for a long time. So how about if you're feeling stuck at your job or business or a venture that you're in? Then to me, that is an indication that you've probably outgrown the place or the business or the venture. Bottom line, something needs to change. And sometimes that change might mean letting go. And I feel this in my heart because I am one of those people. I have this sort of personality that struggles to let go sometimes, actually, all the time. So I know how hard it is to let go sometimes. But if you don't let go, you're not going to be creating room for the new. And this is probably why you feel stuck, because you're full of things that used to be needed but are now just junk. So my friend, it's time to let go. Okay, so the last thing I suggest you do is to talk it over with someone. That could be a friend or a mentor or even a therapist. And this also plays out like journaling, because you're explaining it to somebody else. It has a way of promoting clarity, like I said earlier, and helps you just make more sense of the feeling of being stuck. Which brings me to the last reason for feeling stuck that I talked about earlier, because I said I wanted to attach the solution to that reason. So this is it. Sometimes you're feeling stuck might be as a result of depression. And I'm not talking about just having low mood. I'm referring to clinical depression, for which you will need to seek expert help for. In some cases, you might even need medication. If you're not sure, then I'll suggest starting off by seeing a therapist. Personally, I think everyone should secure the services of a therapist one time or the other in their lives. And if you're from my part of the world in Africa, you probably think therapists are only for crazy people. To which I'd say, who isn't crazy? I mean, really? But in all seriousness, I would argue that a therapist is only for the person who is mentally health aware. Besides, what's wrong with being mentally ill? We don't bat an eye if someone goes to the doctor for a physical ailment, but we shoot down those who want to be in top tip shape mentally too. I think that's just hypocritical. I started seeing a therapist because I sensed the potential I carried, but could clearly see that the mental and emotional blocks I was struggling with were preventing me from really taking advantage of that potential. I agree that seeing a therapist is an ego-killing venture for sure, and it calls for a certain level of courage. But if this is the route that is right for you, I want to beg you not to deprive yourself of living to your maximum potential simply because of pride. So this is where I call it a day, guys. I really hope you found today's episode useful. And if you did, or if you know someone who might benefit from it, don't forget to share the episode with them. Also consider rating and reviewing the podcast if you're listening on iTunes, or rating and following if you're listening on Spotify. Very soon, the Girl Unlimited podcast will be on YouTube, so I can see your comments and respond to them. Till then, you can both listen and leave a comment on the website. So just go to tosseofficial.com/podcast. That is T for Tango, O, S for Sierra, E, and the word official, all one word, .com/podcast. Until next time, remember you're a special, unique person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
You think that nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to anything, but I rise. Yes, you might have given up on me, 'cause you couldn't see what I see when